This is Velocity Radio.
Y'all know what it is.
24/7 at velocityradio.fm.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Tooth Talk, everybody, where we talk about the tooth, the whole tooth, and nothing but the tooth. I'm Dr. Doug Heller, along with my co-host, Dr. Ken Versman, and tonight's another special show. Kenny, I don't know if you had a chance to get outside today. It was absolutely spectacular here in Denver, Colorado, and I'm hoping our show is going to be as hot as the weather. So,
great lead-in, Doug. I like that a lot. No, we are very honored to have Dr. Cliff Litvak with us tonight, who's one of the finest dentists that both you and I know. And it's going to be great for our listeners to have an opportunity to hear what Cliff does in organized dentistry, what he does in his practice. And I think they'll learn a lot about dental health, which is the important thing.
Yeah, I know you've known Cliff a long time. It's interesting for me. I've known Cliff a long time as well. As a little kid, I sat directly behind him when we were at services as children. I probably told him to sit down or move to the left or the right so I could see probably a few times. And he probably said, "Hey, little kid, shut up. You're bothering me." But
I think he'll still tell you that if you start bothering him, so you better be careful.
Yeah, no doubt, no question. And as you talked about Cliff, it's absolutely true. Cliff is one of the finest dentists we know. He's been practicing in the Denver area for 33 years. I graduated from the University of Colorado School of Dentistry with honors. And he had since gone back and has been teaching there for the past 33 years. So if you do the math, that means he graduated and immediately started teaching. Additionally, I think Cliff's background, I didn't even realize it, how interesting it is, because he graduated from Stanford. That's interesting in and of itself, but with a bachelor's and master's in civil and environmental engineering. So we'll have to find out a little bit about why dentistry and what piqued his interest in our field, and talk to him a little bit more about why he became a dentist when we get him on here. Additionally, Cliff's been actively involved at the Pankey Institute, and we'll find out a little bit more about what that is and how that relates to dentistry. He's also been one of the 5280's top dentists in Colorado each and every year that they've made that notification. But he's really represented best by his wife, Donna, and his two daughters, Lauren and Jillian, who probably are really the main focus of his life other than dentistry. So I don't know when you met Cliff.
Gee, I think I probably met him right after I moved to Colorado. He wasn't a dentist at the time, but I think we met through his family. And Cliff's been a friend ever since. He's the perfect guest for us to have, and you obviously know why, Doug.
Well, yeah.
Because he's just got a great face for radio.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so welcome, Cliff. So, you know, as I was saying in our introduction about your background and went to Stanford and had this engineering path, and yet 33 years later, it's probably a little bit more than that, right? Probably about 35, 36 years later now, chose the field of dentistry. So what was it? Why? What made you become a dentist? Or was it the tinkering of the little things that got you interested?
Well, I think you're right. The reason I went into engineering was that through my childhood, I always enjoyed working with my hands and always had the ability to see three-dimensionally. In my mind, and it was that which made me think that I was going to be interested in design. And it, as I was going through college, engineering and architecture were my interests. And I realized after a semester or so that it's very difficult to do both. So I leaned towards engineering because I enjoyed math and sciences, and ended up getting my engineering degree, but realizing that engineering didn't really give me everything I needed from a working with people standpoint. The medical side of dentistry, that is working closely with people, helping them with their health care. It was something that engineering didn't offer. And engineering does offer a way to think, and it allows you to be logical about using information and putting it together to do whatever you need to do, including develop treatment plans and taking the very good care of your patients through that logical sequencing. And the funny way to think about it is, now I build little bridges instead of big bridges.
That's right.
That's great. You know what? Your education, Cliff, isn't just any normal education. I mean, first of all, you are at the Stanford University. I also know that you've been very active in their alumni board here in Denver. I believe they have a chapter for their alumni association. So we're just wondering, when Doug's kids get a little older, we hope you're going to be helping them to get into Stanford.
That'd well, really knowing nice. Doug, that may be difficult. But
right, right. No, but not just help them, help pay for it. That's going to be a challenge.
That will be a challenge. Stanford, I am an actually have been, not as much as I used to be, but I was on the board of directors of the Rocky Mountain Stanford Club for probably 15 years, and I was acting as treasurer. And they were wondering why I was going on all these nice trips, and I said, no, it's not the treasury at Stanford that I'm using. But I enjoyed working with those people. Stanford grads are fun people, you know, just like any other college. But when you get your alumni society together and do some things in the city where you live, it's a fun way to get together and meet people. The I am now currently on the alumni interview board for high school seniors that are interested in getting into Stanford, and I have the opportunity to meet these these kids and enjoy interviewing them. And it's remarkable how smart these kids are. They're much smarter than we were when we got out of school.
So accomplished.
There's so much more information out there that is even in high school compared to what we knew. So they're amazing kids, and it's a wonderful and it's a fun thing to do to spend some time with them. And I write a little recommendation, and sometimes it helps.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Thank you for doing that. I mean, you volunteered a lot in a lot of organizations. We'll talk about some of those as the show goes on, but let's talk about your practice, Cliff. Tell us where it's located, and then I want to hear a little bit about your practice philosophy. You're a general dentist, and maybe you can tell us what that means to you.
Okay. I practice at 695 South Colorado Boulevard, which is on the corner of Exposition and South Colorado Boulevard. It's a great location. I've been there since 1983 when I started. I associated for 2 years and then started my own practice in 1983 at that location, and I've been there ever since. It's a great central location near Cherry Creek, easier parking than Cherry Creek, and we certainly have enjoyed being there, and the neighborhood has stayed very good, and we've certainly enjoyed the location. As far as my philosophy of dentistry, I've always been a person who believed that our patients deserve the very best. And the type of dentistry that we do, I call a relationship-based, values-driven practice. People deserve to have the very best. And I also believe that it's important that people understand their options. And we like to do a lot of education so that people do understand what's out there and available to them. Comprehensive care is part of what we do, and that's quite different than emergency dentistry. 50% of the population doesn't go to the dentist at all, and many of the people who do go only go when they have an emergency, which is becomes an expensive, potentially painful place to start a dental relationship, and we don't like for people to get there. And I believe a preventive philosophy to try to keep them out of trouble so it can become a pleasant, less expensive experience. Keeping them out of trouble is really the way I like to practice, and I treat people like they're guests in my home. I love to see patients for years and years, and I still have patients that I've seen when I just got out of dental school. So it's been a wonderful run and continuing to do so.
And when you say general dentistry, you're talking about what type of dentistry are you tip? What do you do on a typical day?
Well, the way I do dentistry is I believe in taking the time and to take good care of our patients, which means we don't see a lot of patients in one day. I prefer to see, and my favorite day is someone who needs a fair amount of dentistry just to see one patient. I can really put concerted amount of effort and time and give of myself to my patient that way. General dentistry means that we do many restorative things for my patients. And one of the things that I enjoy working with Doug and Ken for our patients is to utilize their expertise. They're the finest periodontists in the Denver area, and they have the ability to treat problems with gums and bone, and also do help us a lot when we have missing teeth and we need to restore teeth. They do the surgical end of the implant for us, and I find that I can do certain things very well, and I try to focus on those things. But I also know that I can't do everything well, and I like my patients to have the very best, and that means I find the very best people that can do the type of thing that I need to support what we choose to do together on our patients. And Doug and Ken do some of the finest periodontics in the Denver area.
Well, one of the buzzwords that's going around and what we talk about, particularly among other dentists, is the interdisciplinary care. And that would involve working with different specialists, as you said. I know you like a good team around you, and you really kind of do that. And it's nice to be on the other end of that, because as Ken and I will attest to, is when we're done, you kind of make us look good. You know, you are always kind of that icing on the cake for guys like us. So we really appreciate that as well.
Yeah, and I think the fact that you have searched out your team, people that you can work with to provide the highest quality of care that can be provided for your patients. And I think the audience needs to understand that as the general restorative dentist, you're the quarterback. You actually run the show. And when patients are seen by other specialists, we look at their problems, we communicate with you, and together we try to formulate the appropriate treatment plan with you really calling the signals. And you do a beautiful job of that, and you should be very proud. And I know your patients, who have mentioned it to me many, many times, truly appreciate it, which is really neat.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to work with people who know the difference. And there is a difference in dentistry. And I believe that our patients deserve to have choices. And I believe they also have hopefully have the choice to choose the very best. And if that's appropriate for them, sometimes other choices are made, and that's fine too. But we owe it to our patients to allow them to have the very best. And when it comes to interdisciplinary treatment, I think what you said earlier, Ken, was appropriate, and that is a team of specialists that I have, people that I know that my patients, when they see them, will be taken care of at the highest level and can receive that type of dentistry.
So, you know, you were talking about your team, but one part of the team is the dentist that you work with. I know the people that you work with in your office are also your team, and they've been with you for many, many years, correct?
They have.
Yeah. I mean, how long have they been there? Have they been there since you started or before you started?
Well, one of them was in dentistry before I started, but my office manager has been with me for 28 years. My expanded duty dental chairside assistant has been with me for 18 years, and my hygienist, we just celebrated her 8th anniversary today, and I consider the best part of our office to be our team members, the people that take great care of our patients. They assist me in many ways, but really when I hear compliments about how well they were taken care of by Phyllis or Sarah or Tammy, it makes my heart feel good, because those are the people that are the face of our practice, and it's a team effort, and I couldn't do it without them.
Yeah, one of the statistics I've always heard is that the average dental employee stays around for about 8 to 9 months. I can't verify that statistic, but to have 28 years, 18 years, what was the other one, 13 years?
Eight
years. Either you got to come up with a lot of really good jokes or they must really like you.
Or I pay a lot of money.
Or you pay a lot of money, absolutely.
Which is fantastic. And it's that loyalty and continuity of the people in your office that makes your patients feel so comfortable. Because when they come in, they like to find familiar faces. We all do. Anytime we go to a doctor's office, the first time is sort of difficult. And then when you go back and you see people who are happy to see you, and that's, I know, the way your team is, it makes your patients feel really, really good. In our introduction, Doug talked about you've been teaching for 33 years at the University of Colorado's Dental School. And my hat goes off to you, because that's a huge contribution to the education of our future dentists-to-be. I wonder if you'd tell us a little bit about those teaching experiences and how you see the future of dentistry as it's evolving with these young students who are under so many difficult challenges. Maybe the greatest one is their student debt, where some kids have over $600,000 of debt by the time they graduate dental school. I wonder if you'd comment a little bit on how you envision the future for these students.
I think it's a difficult future. One of my friends is a dentist, and he was telling me that his brother had just been accepted to dental school in several places, but one of the places was University of Southern California, which is a fine dental school, but the tuition per year is $125,000. So he will be $500,000 in debt just for tuition, and after other expenses, probably in the $600,000 to $700,000 area.
Oh my God!
I don't think people realize the commitment that these kids are making, or their families, to put them through dental school, and the difficulty in once you graduate, how do you get out of debt in the position that they're in? It's almost untenable you may be in debt for 10, 20, even more years, which is a very, very challenging way to live your life.
And the teaching experiences, what with the students, what are you teaching, and what excites you about it?
I'm teaching, over the years, I've taught quite a few courses down at the dental school. I was fortunate enough to be asked to teach several months before I graduated. It was a real honor to be asked. And of course, when you first start out, you're not as busy. And it was a great opportunity to have some other things to do besides starting my private practice. And I was able to start in areas of dentistry known as morphology, which is the shapes of teeth, and how it's essentially the beginning dentistry 101 course, which is a great fun course to teach. It's as the students are very excited about it. And also something called occlusion, which is how the teeth come together. And I've been very involved in teaching that course, as well as clinical dentistry. When the patients see the students in their third and fourth year, they need doctors to cover them and make sure that things are going well, and giving them grades on the work that they do and coaching them. And that's a fun thing to do. I've been doing that part of it for many years.
That's great. Yeah, we'll come back and we'll talk about a little bit more about the teaching experiences on the other side. I got a couple more questions for you, and we'll come back and talk more to Dr. Cliff Litvak. It's Cliff, before we go to break, quick telephone number of your office.
303-777-8850.
Okay, we'll see you on the other side.
Thank you.
Can't go out the door. potential customers, but I'm not going to be able to find you because when I type your name into a search engine, you're one of thousands upon thousands of businesses I see, all with great customer service. How am I going to find you? Instead, make your business stand out with Get Found Fast, using technology and marketing, getting your name out there, and getting people in your door. Get your name out there today at GetFoundFast.com.
Get found fast, get found fast, get found fast.com.
Get found
fast.
GetFoundFast.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 888-98-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
Call 888-98-STEEL. That's 888-987-8335.
Hello, this is Sean Hakes with Velocity Radio. If you're a business owner with a particular expertise, then hosting your own radio show at Velocity Radio is the chance to become the trusted expert in your field. Our state-of-the-art studios are located in Castle Rock, Colorado, so drop on by for a tour anytime. Velocity Radio hosts enjoy a dedicated board-op production team and a generous revenue share that will allow you to monetize your show while delivering your message to potential customers. To learn more about becoming a Velocity Radio host, call me today at 720-940-9056 or email me at sean@velocityradio.fm.
Parker Trailers, from entry-level trailers to flatbeds, cargo, and horse trailers, plus all your parts and service needs, now with two locations in Parker off Parker Road, and now open at the Pikes Peak International Speedway in Fountain. Visit ParkerTrailers.com for product information and details.
There is no easy way to face criminal charges. The Frankfurt Law Office can help. With over 20 years of collective experience, the Frankfurt Law Office is capable of handling any legal situation. Contact them today for a free confidential consultation at 303-830-0090. That's 303-830-0090. Or visit them at frankfurtlawoffices.com. When the long arm of the law reaches out for you, fight back with the Frankfurt Law Office.
Fresh, it's cutting edge. This is Velocity Radio.
Welcome back to Tooth Talk. This is Dr. Doug Heller. When we talk about the tooth, the whole tooth, and nothing but the tooth, I'm here with my partner, Dr. Ken Versman, and we've got an awesome, terrific dentist here with us, Dr. Cliff Litvak, and we were talking a little bit before the break about his teaching experiences and why he still goes 33 years after the fact when he started, and I know he's down there a full day each and every week, so it is quite a commitment on his part, but I think it's something that he really enjoys, and we want to delve a little bit more into that. Cliff, I know I've seen you down there, and I know that part of the experience is teaching kind of the mechanics of what we're doing. But a lot of guys can do that. And I think that what I've observed over the years of what you bring is you bring the whole picture to the student, what it's like in practice, a little bit of business experience, a little bit of the mechanics, and a lot of knowledge based on good quality dentistry. So I'd like to hear a little bit about why you think that's so important and what you think the students can kind of get out of that and kind of give them kind of a role model or something to emulate as they get in and out of school.
It's a good question. Students are focused on procedures at the dental school and clinic. They have a patient who they start just like we would in private practice and in terms of developing a treatment plan, doing an examination. First, of course, a detailed examination, extremely detailed examination. And putting that information together and coming up with a treatment plan and then getting procedures done as part of their training. The thing that I think sometimes is missed is the communication aspects with your patient. I think it's important to be able to really hear, listen, ask the right questions and listen to what your patient has to say. And when I have the opportunity to work with them for a new patient exam, I try to help them see what they can, the questions they can ask to glean the information that would be most helpful for the patient, finding out their main concerns. We call it a chief complaint. But more than that, really, all the areas of concern that they have, how they feel about that. Because it's important to help patients realize what their issues are, ask the right questions, and then work with them to develop the plan that really takes care of their needs. Sometimes it's difficult if things are found that they don't know about, and those are more difficult discussions to have. But really to learn the communication skills, the interviewing skills, and really to learn how to listen and take good care of your patient. It's not about procedures. It's about taking care of people.
Well, you know, I've talked to many of your patients over the years, Cliff, and one of the things that strikes them immediately is the completeness of the examination process that you perform in your office. And I must say, I think it is very unique because I know you schedule approximately 2 hours for that new patient exam. And I can't help but be so impressed with what you do. And I'd like you to tell our listeners what's involved in a 2-hour new patient dental examination.
The reason we take the time really is the communication part of it. It's not about looking in someone's mouth, picking around and finding something that needs to be done. It's about really understanding a patient. And the first probably half hour of the appointment is I sit one-on-one with the patient and really ask them what's on their mind. And the discussion can go anywhere. It sometimes doesn't have at the beginning a lot to do with dentistry, and really that's okay because you really want to know who a patient is, because each person has different needs and they're in a different place in their life. And I think you need to figure out, besides the dentistry, which of course they're there for, but where they are in their life in terms of their ability to deal with it time-wise, ability to deal with it financially, and really, most importantly, what's on their mind in any area. Sometimes people have medical issues that will affect where we go, and I think that interview allows us to really get to know a patient, where they are, and what their needs will be. We then do photographs, which a lot of dentists don't do, because that way I can have a baseline and see where they are. We take full face pictures and then pictures of their teeth from different views so that I can see them when they're not in my office, and if there's any issues that I need to, if they call me and have a question, or if I'm trying to put together a plan for them, I'm able to see with photographs exactly what they look like and help plan out what we will be doing for them. We then do a very thorough exam with relation to the different systems in dentistry, including the first thing we do is an extensive oral cancer exam, both on the face and inside the mouth. And then we do a very extensive periodontal exam, which I know is what you both do at a high expertise level in your office. But we do a very good one in terms of understanding what their bone support is and how their gums look and how healthy is it and how will that affect some of the things that that I need to do from a restorative standpoint, because you can't build restorative dentistry on an unhealthy base, which is the gums and the bone that the teeth are in. And then I realize whether there is something that needs to be done before I can get to it. And that's when we start working with specialists such as yourself. We then get involved in an occlusal exam, which has to do with how the teeth come together, things that can change when bites are off, when people have parafunctional habits, meaning they grind and clench their teeth. They have little areas that they play on, and that can damage teeth. We evaluate the muscles and the jaw joints because you cannot, again, build dentistry that will last on in a mouth that has issues with regard to the bite or the jaw joint because of the jaw joints changing, then the teeth and how the teeth come together change. And it's important to evaluate health and instability as well. We then do a tooth exam, which most people do the first. We do it towards the end in terms of looking at individual teeth and the needs that are the current dentistry that's there and also the things that may be necessary. And if they don't have a current set of radiographs or x-rays of their teeth, that's very important because half of our information is gleaned from the clinical exam and half of it is from radiographic evaluation. That is the bone, whether there's any decay between the teeth, which you cannot see by a visual examination. And all that information is put together and generally put together at a different time such that after an hour and a half to 2 hour appointment, if it's a simple situation and they don't have a lot of dentistries, we can chat about it and set up a plan of action right then. But if it's more complex, and we tend to do more complex cases many times, it takes me some time to put the information together and study both the radiographs and the clinical exam, and I put together what we call a treatment plan, and then we have a consultation appointment, which is separate, and we spend another hour with the patient reviewing things. It may not take an hour, but we leave an hour to do it. Some people have lots of questions and other people don't. But that way we have the opportunity really to talk about what's going on and answer all questions and help a patient, again, go along the path that they need to go on in terms of getting back to oral health.
That's pretty obvious, Doug, isn't it, about why his patients are so impressed with that exam? I mean, it just can't get any better than that. It is so complete and thorough.
Well, it makes me think, you know, if I drove from our office, Cliff, to your office, I think I'd drive by about four or five offices that charge $59 for a set of x-rays and an exam. And I'm sure that that's probably a 15-minute deal, and it really says a lot about you and the quality of services that you provide that, you know, it's kind of like the carpenters, you know, measure twice, cut once kind of philosophy. If you take that time in the beginning, you really get dialed into the needs and wants and desires of the patient. And it just, I just kind of shake my head at why someone would even bite it at those type of promotions when they could see somebody like yourself and really kind of get kind of every question that they ever wanted answered about their teeth pretty much answered. So
now I would like to ask you how that examination process evolved. I know that you've been very active at the Pankey Institute, and most of our listeners won't know what that is. So I invite you to share with us an explanation of that institute. And I'm going to assume that to some degree, as you went through their programs, they helped you shape part of your philosophy. Would you like to comment on some of that?
Yes, thanks, Ken. The about 5 years out into practice, private practice, after I got out of school, I realized that when I saw certain people and they presented with certain problems, I wasn't as comfortable and I didn't feel I had the knowledge level that I needed to really take good care of them. And that made me feel uncomfortable because I wanted to be able to really do my very best. As you see, that's part of my personality, to really take good care of people. And I researched where places that did advanced continuing education for dentists were located. The one that routinely was mentioned to me as really the premier place in the United States at that time, and that was in the mid-80s, was the Pankey Institute, which was located in the Miami or Key Biscayne area of Florida. And it was quite a distance for a Denver guy to jump in a plane and go down there. But it was a unique experience. And I went actually with a colleague or two that actually had the same concerns and the same need to advance their education and their understanding of dentistry. And we started going down to the Institute. At that time, the Pankey Institute had what we call a curriculum, and it was 1 through 4, and actually there were more, but the basic ones were 1 through 4. And each one was a week long. You'd fly in to Key Biscayne or to Miami and drive down to Key Biscayne, and they had condominiums that you'd stay in, and there were usually four dentists in a condominium, which also made it a unique experience. I guess you got to share with these people and their experiences, their lives, and go through the course with them. It's like boot camp, so it was a neat experience personally. But then you learn advanced dentistry, and particularly in the area of temporomandibular joint, again, which is the jaw joint that a lot of things are based on to do stable quality dentistry, as well as other more advanced things. The good news is when I was at the University of Colorado, we had an excellent course in occlusion, and I had a lot of good background in it, but there were a lot more detailed things that you really never get into at school, and you certainly can't learn just from practicing dentistry. You really need to take a lot of advanced continuing education to be good at it. And I went through all four courses, and then there were other more advanced courses that were developed as I was going through. And we went through this group of dentists and myself every 6 months. Now, some people take years between the courses, but it was something that once you come back from your week-long visit to Key Biscayne, there were so many things that you want to change in your practice to start using the information and developing the planning that they help evaluate, that you need to sit down with people and then really spend time practicing it, putting it in place. And it takes a while to do that. Sometimes people don't do that, and they're kind of wasting their time because they don't implement what they learned. But I took it seriously, and I implemented it. It's hard when you come back and you sit down with your team, and they look at you, and they say, oh, he's been at another course, so we're going to have changes this week, or maybe he'll forget about it, so we don't have to change. And all of us know how that works when we're trying to implement new things in the office. But I've been fortunate to have people who are willing to go on this journey and learn like I did, and do our very best for our patients. Our mission is to do that, and or they wouldn't be there, and that's hopefully why they've been with me for so long, that they follow that philosophy of quality care. And I was fortunate enough, after being at the Institute for having gone through all the courses over about a 4 to 6 year period, and some of the advanced courses we continued doing, that I was asked to teach there. And I've been teaching down at the Institute for about 15, 17 years now. And I'm called to go down and teach one of those courses with some other faculty members from other places in the United States. And we have up to anywhere between 12 and 24 dentists that we see.
But at the point in which you were going, it was a little bit before its time, right? I mean, it wasn't as popular as it is today to do a lot of CE.
I don't know. To me, you just don't have enough education when you go to dental school to be able to truly take great care of your patients. And CE is imperative to be able to be at the top of your game and take great care of your patients.
You know, when we come back, Cliff, I'm going to ask you, what is it about you that wherever you go, they want you to stay and continue teaching? That's really a compliment.
Everybody's gonna leave their seat. There is no better advertisement for your business than a well-executed sign. A great sign tells a story, one we understand just by looking at it. Are you selling fun and relaxation? Are quality and integrity the top priorities? Or do you need to build trust and confidence? You may have invested in a great logo with great colors, but there is a visual language beyond color. It tells a richer story, and that language is dimension. Don't just tell people who you are. Show them who you are. With 3D letters, layers, sculpted elements, textures, or metal finishes, we make 3D signs that tell a memorable story about you. Visit our website at big3dproductions.com to see the best 3D signs in the USA. That's big, the number 3, dproductions.com, or call us at 303-646-2500. What story does your sign tell about you?
Hey, this is Chuck. I recently purchased a new travel trailer found on trailerbroker.com, and woo-wee, did I get me a deal. I shopped around a lot, didn't know much about trailers, but the kind folks there at trailerbroker.com helped me find the perfect bunkhouse to meet my family's needs. Not to mention, they saved me thousands from what I was told was a special deal. Check out my friends at Trailer Broker today at trailerbroker.com.
Limited time offer, 24-month commitment and credit qualification require, cancellation fee, auto pay, and paperless billing, and other restrictions apply. If you can't see the difference, why pay the difference? Switch to Dish for the best deal in entertainment. Only Dish brings you the best in entertainment for less than $20 a month. Cut the cable and don't get directed. Switch to Dish because at just $19.99, Dish saves you every time you turn on the TV. It's so simple. The same channels cost less with Dish. So since you can't see the difference, don't pay the difference. Switch to Dish for the best deal in entertainment. Get premium movie channels free for 3 months, starting at just $19.99. Dish saves you every time you turn on the TV. Call now to save with Dish. Dial 1-800-943-9074. That's 1-800-943-9074. The same channels for less than $20 a month. Dish. Call 1-800-943-9074 for details.
It's new, it's fresh, it's cutting edge. This is Velocity Radio.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night, I should be sleeping like a log. But when I get home to you, I'm
not. Welcome back to Tooth Talk, where we talk about the tooth, the whole tooth, and nothing but the tooth. I'm Dr. Doug Heller, along with my co-host, Dr. Ken Versman, and we got our special guest, Dr. Cliff Litvak, here with us tonight. Before we get back to Cliff, I want to give a big shout-out to Big Daddy Sean in the box, who's making this all go, and thank you to Sean. And Kenny, you were going to ask Cliff some things about that Pankey Institute that we were talking about right before the break. And
yes, absolutely. But before I do that, I want to give our listening audience the information that they may need if they desire to call into the show. If they're local in the Denver area, the phone number is 303-565-4311. Or if they're outside the Denver area, they can call in toll-free at 1-888-321-7234. We'd love to answer any questions that any of our listeners may have for Dr. Litvak or ourselves. But Cliff, I said I wanted to come back and ask you, you know, there's something about you. You know, you went to dental school and they asked you to stay and teach. You went to the Pankey Institute, they asked you to stay and teach. How do you explain that?
I think it's just an honor. I felt that at school I had a good rapport with my faculty, with the patients, and I was pretty good at it, and I also enjoy working with people. I actually was a student TA in some of the courses at the school, and enjoyed that very much. I was again honored to be asked by my by the faculty at that time to share and help, and I really enjoyed it. So possibly had to do with that enjoyment and enthusiasm and in helping people and mentoring. There's nothing better than watching a student understand something and they say, I get that. And that's very satisfying for me, but I learn as much from my students as I give to them. So it's a win-win, I think.
Yeah, but I think it's a real testament to, obviously, the achievements that you've accomplished during those training programs and going throughout that process, where the current teachers recognized that you had this ability and this talent to be able to pass it back to new students coming in. And not too many of us have that. I mean, I think that's really very, very honorable. It is an honor. But obviously it's because of your skills. You know, all of us at this table, the three of us, have been pretty actively involved in organized dentistry. You have done way more than your share. Tell us a little bit about some of your activities where you have worked to give back to the profession and what you felt you personally got out of doing that.
One of the things that I was involved in several years ago was the American College of Dentists, which is an honorary society based on ethics in dentistry. And just to be nominated into that group was very special. There's a process of having your peers write letters of recommendation for you. There's an application. You don't even know they're nominating you. You find out that you've been nominated and elected to be a member of an esteemed group. I was in it for a few years and became president of the Colorado section of the American College, which was, again, a great honor, working with dentists and ultimately working with students, because we developed programs in the section that work directly with the school. One of those was something called the White Coat Ceremony, where we essentially honor students going from their preclinical training to their clinical training, and present them with a white coat, which is essentially symbolizing their transfer from the preclinical to the clinical side and taking care of patients. And we have something similar to the Hippocratic Oath that physicians take. We do it for dentistry too, and really get them thinking about taking care of patients in a way that it's selfless, and it's something that really is emotionally powerful in the students and their families. Many families fly in from all over to be there at that ceremony because it's very meaningful for all of us and the students. And American College has been instrumental in getting that to the dental school and helping start it with, at that time, the dean of the dental school. Another organization that I've been involved with very heavily since I was in dental school was a group called Alpha Omega Dental Fraternity. Alpha Omega has been one of the things I've been very passionate about in my career. It is a group of dentists that are based on, have a philosophy based on three things. One is fraternalism. It is a dental fraternity. Professionalism, which has a lot to do with taking great care of our patients and getting into advanced continuing education, and with the base of Judaic values, which is based on just a philosophy of life, and that is family oriented, that we care about our fellow humans and we try to make the world a better place. And those struck home with me. I was fortunate enough to be the first president of that group at our dental school, and we started the chapter at University of Colorado back in 1979, and then became involved on an international level over the years. We have conventions every year. I've met some wonderful people from all over the world. One thing that you get in Alpha Omega is the fraternal aspect. You can go to a different city, and you're treated like family. As an example of that, just this last weekend, I was in Buffalo, New York, evaluating a grad school that my daughter was accepted into. And one of the people that I know through Alpha Omega, a past president of Alpha Omega, lives there. And he was on the phone. He, through Facebook, he found out my daughter was evaluating school in Buffalo. And he called me and said, are you coming to our city? And he had every meal with us. He took us around looking at the city. He took us to his home, and he helped take us to different parts of the city to evaluate apartments, telling us this is a good part of the city, this is a bad part of the city. And you get that everywhere you go. A year ago, I went to Atlanta to visit a friend. He invited me to go to the Masters tournament with him, and we stayed at his home. He picked us up at the airport. I mean, you get that all over the United States, but Alpha Omega is worldwide. We have 27 countries. About used to be 15,000 dentists. It's not quite as much as it used to be, but we still have many members, mostly in North America, Canada, and United States, but also in Europe. And it's an amazing group. I was fortunate enough in 2008 to be elected as president, international president of Alpha Omega, and it was an honor and just a wonderful experience for me and my wife and children to visit different places. And during that year, you do chapter visitations, and we visited many places in the United States and in Canada and Europe, and got the opportunity to meet some amazing people in the dental community. And I have friends all over the world, and weekly I'm in touch with people, some very, very good friends. Just talked to one from Los Angeles yesterday, and another one from Montreal, Canada, a week ago. So it's pretty neat to be international and have friends all over. And if you have patients that are going to a different state moving, or if someone's moving to Denver, people refer them to me, and we take care of patients in a warm and friendly manner.
Well, these honors that you've received, I think people need to understand they aren't just given. They are earned. And you obviously didn't just become international president overnight of Alpha Omega Fraternity. It's something you really gave blood, sweat, and tears to. And I think, you know, that's a testament to how committed you are to your fellow dentists and your fellow human beings. I think that's really pretty cool, and I congratulate you for that.
And
thank
I think,
you.
And I think more important than that, Kenny, is last year he had an opportunity to go to the Masters, and this year he gave it up to come and be with us on this show. So, you know, gets the big ticket this year.
That's right. Okay, so Cliff, you've been involved in civic organizations in Colorado. You're not totally funneled into dental organizations. You like to give back to your community. Why don't you tell us a little bit about some of those activities?
We already spoke about my work with the Rocky Mountain Stanford Alumni Association, and that was great. And I've been doing a lot with our Rotary Club. I've been a member of Rotary for probably going on 20 years now. I'm a member of the University Hills Rotary Club. Some wonderful individuals from our community. Rotary does some great things, very similar to what some of the groups that I belong to in dentistry do. Expanded, and there's a lot of things that happen in Rotary. We meet on Fridays weekly. There's a luncheon. There's a short business meeting, and we have a very usually good speakers for a half hour on a weekly basis. And it's an opportunity to really spend some time with people from all walks of life. Rotary is an organization that essentially they try to have different vocations. In fact, in any one club, they essentially require that there's no duplication of vocations. So there can only be one dentist in a certain club, or one banker, one realtor. So it's an opportunity to meet people in your community that are usually living in the same area, and together the synergy to help other people is immense. One of the things that I've helped, one of my little known areas of interest and expertise is helping run charity golf tournaments. And I've been helping our Rotary Club do that on a yearly basis probably for the last 10, 12 years. And that money that we raise in our golf tournament helps several organizations that we pinpoint to benefit, and battered wives and orphanages and other very needy and well-deserving organizations receive donations from our club based on the money that we raise in our tournaments. And golf is one of my hobbies and passions, and somehow I've gotten into running golf tournaments as well, which is fun to do. It's part of my organizational needs and in terms of liking to put things together and work with people to for a common cause, and it's very enjoyable for me.
That's great, and thank you for doing those things. I mean, those are so important for the community.
You've done the MDDS golf tournament as well a number of times.
The Colorado Dental Association, yeah, yes. And I also run a golf tournament that we've been raising money over the years for the University of Colorado Alumni Association. We raise money for student scholarships, student benefit, and get together with faculty and staff and students and fellow alums to enjoy a day on the golf course. And this next one, actually, for the dental school will be coming up on May 18th. And we're in the process of organizing that tournament right now and expect both of you to be out there.
That's terrific. Yeah.
You've never seen us golf.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, right.
As we start to approach the end of the show, Cliff, one more time, would you tell us, please, the address of your office and your phone number? And your website, because I know a lot of our listeners would like to hear that again, please.
We're at the corner of Exposition in Colorado, specifically 695 South Colorado Boulevard, Suite 380. Our business telephone number is 303-777-8850. The website is www.cliffordslitvacdds.com. If you Google in Cherry Creek Dentist, hopefully it comes up. But you have the specifics now, and certainly we'd love to hear from you. And if you've heard anything tonight that interests you and you feel that our philosophy is the same as yours in terms of health care and prevention, certainly we'd love to see you.
And you are then accepting new patients.
We are.
Great. I think that's terrific. And hopefully our listeners got all that information, because your office is just a wonderful place that they should consider visiting.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you, Doug.
Yeah, and we thank you for taking the time tonight to come be with us. We really enjoyed the show. I'm Dr. Doug Heller, Dr. Ken Versman, my co-host, www.periodontalhealth.com. If you need to reach us, 303-755-4500. And Cliff, again, thank you very much for a great show. We really, really had a good talk and learned some things.
Thanks, Cliff.
Thank you, guys.
You were great.
Appreciate it.